Yo, what's up? Welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33 and a Third podcast. It's your boy, DeLeo, a.k.a. Filthy McNasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
Yes, sir. It's your boy, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. International Drew, a.k.a. that Black Star kid. And saying, what's the deal, y'all?
Finna fuck y'all up. What up? It's your boy TJ, aka Tony Rome, aka T to the motherfucking, aka Lover Boy T, like on some 87 shit. What's up?
Wow.
Yo, I'm only doing that because BA ain't here, and I got to hear about it immediately.
Yeah, shout out to our brother BA, who couldn't be with us today. He's fighting a strong case of hemorrhoids, and yeah,
it's that sodium in that food, yeah, man, to do it to you.
Yeah, you know, I tried to tell him to lay off, man, and it just, you know, it just wouldn't listen. So
I know he went from preparation H to Z,
yeah,
right?
Tell him he can't be eating sharks 6 days out of the week, but yeah, you know, because it's grown, they don't want to listen.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that lemon pepper,
extra lemon pepper.
So everybody keep BA in your prayers. He'll be with us, you know, hopefully next week. But yeah, man, take care of them hemorrhoids, man.
No doubt. Hey, so yeah. I guess y'all can hear me better. Like, I got rid of the Primeco iPhone 2.5.
Yo, let me get the applause for that, man. he's got a budget. The show got a budget, and we all chipped in and got TJ a new phone, so he might sound a little clearer to y'all now.
I am very happy to be here,
man. What you got an iPhone 12, right?
Yeah, but like I guess I didn't even know they make iPhone 12 minis, but
yeah. So how small is that phone, bro?
Yeah, it's literally the same size.
Oh, really? Okay.
This was the only phone that they had that I could walk away with the same day without paying anything extra.
Yeah.
And because that budget you spoke of is very slim.
Yeah.
I had to roll with that. So, but yeah, it's the same size as the phone I just had. So, you know, it's working out.
No doubt, man. Well, you know, so far we only got that one sponsor, Invisible Company. So,
no doubt,
you know, soon as we get a few more on, man, we might be able to upgrade you even more. Cause Drew, you got 11, right?
So
yeah, I got an 11. I'm working on that Pro Max.
I got a better version of the iPhone than you, Drew.
And me.
Technically.
And me.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
This is new. I never upgrade. This is the first new phone in 3 years. Like, and I would have kept that shit if it didn't die on me. So this is new to have. I'm gonna mess around and get a PS7 on y'all niggas too. Watch.
Wow.
All we need for you now is just to use iCloud.
I'm gonna go ahead and graduate to iCloud now. Y'all know, I never fucked with the cloud. I didn't trust it. I still don't really, but I'm gonna go ahead and fuck with the cloud. Just throw my contacts on there. But thankfully, I didn't have the new phone. Who this, everybody? Because somehow magically, all my contacts came through. My text messages and my pictures didn't, but I can live with that. I was really worried about the contacts, but all the contacts is there. So if I'm gonna fuck with the cloud, Drew, I'm gonna finally go ahead and get rid of my paranoia and fuck with the cloud.
Yeah, you might not want your pictures floating around on the cloud.
This is what I'm saying. That's why I never fucked with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a Scorpio. I won't say I'm into weird shit, but you know, like, I don't cringe at other people's weird shit. So, and sometimes I'd be screenshotting random shit too. And then I never go back and like study it. Like, I always say I'm going to like study whatever, like, cause I like to see the details in pictures. I see a picture and I want to like study that shit and zoom in on every corner and notice shit that. So anyway, so I always screenshot shit. That's why it's a bunch of stuff on my phone that I probably wouldn't want nobody to see.
Right.
So I'm gonna gotcha. Put my contacts on the cloud to back that up. But you know, I work on other shit.
Yeah, and Drew, I gotta ask you, man, because and maybe you can't answer this, but you know, you used to work in the phone industry, and did y'all used to like go through people's photos and stuff when you'd be
keep it a buck, Drew, keep it a buck.
Was that TMI?
No. Listen, you ain't even got to incriminate yourself. You can just say if you've seen or heard of such instances happening. You ain't got to say I did, but come on, like
No, I'm gonna keep it 100. Like I've seen, but see, here's the thing: it'd be the customer's fault because the customer's like, oh, y'all might not want to go.
So
they're sending an invite.
So you're saying if they didn't say that, then you wouldn't even think to go through their phone. Or to happen across the pictures.
People wouldn't even think, right?
Well, I don't know. Right. I don't know, man. Because if like a real fine sister, because you always gotta operate on the ideology. Everybody got nudes. Like it's 2020, so everybody got some nudes in your phone. So right. If a fine sister came through and was switching phones, blah blah blah, and had to leave it. If she didn't say and don't look through my pictures, or you might not want to look through my pictures, you wouldn't think to anyway.
Nah, dude.
Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. A lot of cap right there.
No, for real, dude. It's you can't do that, dude. Because first of all, that was a money business, bro.
Drew's a smart man. This is recorded.
I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying the thought doesn't come across your mind. The thought doesn't come across your mind unless they say to you, hey, and don't go through my pictures. Like the thought doesn't cross your mind otherwise.
Now, when they said that, yeah, we all used to be like, okay, yeah, like certain guys I knew was like, yeah, they'll definitely do that. They'll definitely say, okay,
but always them saying that makes it cross your mind. Otherwise, right. It wouldn't cross your mind at all.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think
because
that's
you think about it. No, for real. I'm keeping a buck. Think about it. Like if we at work, the last thing you doing is last thing you doing with your customers is transferring their information. So if I'm transferring your information, that means I'm done with you pretty much.
Yeah.
So I'm let your phone go ahead and do this thing while I can go to the next customer. Cause you know, in the sailor biz, it's a doggy dog world. You gotta get your money when you get it.
Right.
So that's my thought process. I'm like, I'm gonna let this customer. I had a girl. She had to be like 15. She came in there with her mom. It was a Sunday. She had over 15,000 pictures.
Wow.
And I was like, the first 100. I remember, and this is because she showed like she was going through her pictures with her mom, and then her mom was like, "You don't need all those pictures." And her mom was like, "Look, she don't need all those pictures." And I was like, dude, the first 100 pictures were the exact same code.
Wow, that's crazy.
Dude, let me tell you how long I worked the 8-hour shift that Sunday. 7.5 hours was that phone transferring.
Yeah. What?
So,
yeah, I'm like,
yeah.
I don't think I had a phone when I was 15. So I did
phones wouldn't have had pictures.
Yeah,
remember we were on the typing joint with the, you know, you got to press three times for the letter D or some shit.
Right, but I did have a pager in high school, and I thought I was the shit when I had a pager.
Of course.
So hold on, let me ask you this: what was your first phone?
Ooh,
I definitely had some sort of brick Motorola.
Okay, Motorola brick was my first phone. Okay, I'm aging myself, but yeah, that
I had the Motorola flip phone. It wasn't a brick, but it was the big gray. Yeah, the big gray flip. Yeah, the big gray flip one. Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. But I want to talk about that one like 4 month period where I had the Motorola time port matching two way and the phone. What's up with that? Niggas could not talk to me for that summer.
Yo, listen.
Yes. Y'all remember the two way pager. The two way pager.
Absolutely. I started off with the little joint. Do you remember what the name of that one was? It was like
the sidekick.
No. It was the little bitty. No. It was I got it on the tip of my tongue. It was the little thing that looked like a time port. I almost said the turnabout, but it was the talkabout.
Wait a minute, was that the phone that looked like
no.
Random, but it was there to see.
Yeah, it's a bit stalkerish, but at the same time,
no,
it was there for the taking. So you took advantage.
I don't know why. I don't know what she said, but I don't know. For some reason, I thought she might be cute. So I decided to strike up a friendship. I mean, I guess it's the equivalent today of, like, you know, seeing somebody's page and then sliding in a DM and striking up a conversation.
Right.
Right.
Oh, that was the talk about, by the way. It was the Motorola T900 talk about.
Nick.
Yeah, but they had it in different colors. I know I had the black one. Like, I had the black one. And then you and Teach had the big time port.
I'm gonna find some pictures when I had the matching time port and matching time port phone. They were both silver. And it was like, actually, they were platinum. Yeah, they were platinum.
I had that one. I had the little black joint. Because remember, we saw when we were in LA for the Grammy weekend. We saw that joint.
I'm gonna figure out the name of that thing.
Yo, but, like a real quick, crazy two way story. Like, so remember, like, in the magazines when people, like, Vibe or Excel or whatever, people would, like, write in their comments on, specific things?
Yeah.
I don't remember which magazine this was. Was it King? I don't remember which magazine it was. But they, you know, they would put the person's name and where they're from. But for some reason, this magazine would put people's two-way numbers in there. Like, I guess that's how they maybe sent the message. So it would be printed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I like struck up a brief friendship with some chick because of her writing in and her two way. I don't know why I would do that. That's really
Here go. Remember when you had to use the time ports had the little beeps, like the song, and it was like, you remember because what's your boy was a Cadillac car. The Pop City Anthem.
What? Nah, nigga, Timberland beats. Right. I definitely had Bubba Sparks Ugly, I think.
Wow. I mean, you basically was the shit. Like, just walking up to somebody, you know, beaming your info. And
beaming info was so dope. Why don't we have that with iPhones now? I mean, I guess we could send the info card.
Sure.
But the act of beaming your info from you know, phone to phone, that shit was dope.
It was literally like you could be in the club, not even look at the person.
Right.
And just be like, yo, beam me your info.
Like, if you saw they had one on their hip, you could, like, stand next to them and beam them your info, and they wouldn't even know it. You just be a new contact in their phone, and they don't even remember. They just think they met you at that club that night.
Those were the days. After that,
you know, the sidekick, you know, shout out, rest in peace to my sidekick. I lost it in a movie theater.
Nah, I never got into the sidekicks.
My wife was the sidekick queen. She had like three or four of them joints.
Used to love them.
Yeah, she had. But I remember T-Mobile had a joint where it was like it was a two-way pager, but it was a phone, and you could only answer it with a wired headphone.
Oh yeah. Blue. Yeah, and it had like a little antenna on it too, right?
Right. Yeah. I remember that joint.
Yeah. Yeah. My fuckers was looking real extra with that. Mm-hmm. I meant to mention this at the top of the show, man, but this is our 10 episode anniversary, man.
Wow.
10 episodes. Yes, sir.
So it's like, we really appreciate y'all for tuning in so far. You know, we're going to keep the train moving, man. So,
man, we really did like 10 episodes, and BA didn't get us shut down yet.
Right. Nah, not yet. Mm.
Right.
Not yet.
He's probably worked out.
He's working on it.
Cause, you know, most
I'm sure.
But think about it. Most of the stuff that we, the feedback that we get other than T's old phone, and he sounded like he was in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
But it's been like what he say. So,
yeah,
this might be the most PC version of the episode we ever have.
Well, it's like with the, you know, we only got a few weeks left in 2020. So, you know, we got to do our end of the year show coming up soon.
Oh, shit.
But, man, can you imagine, like, all of the end of the year, like, specials? Like, you actually would need a year to cover everything that's happened in 2020.
Only end of the year special I'm waiting on. I want to see what Skills is going to do with the wrap up.
Oh, my God.
So, wait. I don't know if this is a cap or not. I heard that he said he ain't
he
doing
gotta
it.
He got to do say that every year. The nigga been saying that for the last, like, 7 years. He says he's not doing it. He has to do it. And then I know Uncle Murda does his more grittier street hood version of his wrap up. But, you know, I gotta fuck with the original. I mean, I fuck with Murda shit too, but I still look forward to Skills. And, like, no, he has to do it. There's no way he's not doing it. He say that shit every year.
That might have to be a two part version of the
right, exactly.
Wrap up.
I've never actually listened to Uncle Murder. I didn't know.
You got to hear Murder shit. Like, I always say, listen to Skills first and then listen to Murder shit. Because Murder, like, he does it, but he does it, like, a lot more grimier and absolutely no fucks given. He just say the wildest shit and about everybody. Like, so, yeah, listen to Skills first, then check out Murder.
Wow.
Hey, before we go any further, I just want to go back real quick. So, y'all, I don't know if y'all seen, like I know on Twitter is a thing where people will post something that's been living in their head rent free.
Nah, I've not seen this.
So you know, it's a thing they do on Twitter. But you know, they'll just be like, you know, this is in my head right now, rent free, and then it'll be some random video or photo or whatever. So right now, living rent free in my head, sadly, unfortunately, is that picture of Meek and Puffy from.
Oh, this is the one you sent us earlier this week. Yeah, I don't see what's the problem with that. But
I'm sorry. Wait. Did you say you don't see the problem with that picture?
I mean, it's some rich nigga shit. I mean, what do you want? I
Drew,
mean,
that's above our pay grade, bro. Drew, them niggas is dressed alike. First of all, you don't see that? That doesn't bother you?
Okay, let me ask you this question. This is just in hypothetical,
silk shirts.
Right?
So, they got matching silk shirts, bro.
Hold on. Let me ask you this question. So let's say we promoting the podcast, yeah, right? And that there's no
what the fuck
bro.
Are they promoting? Because there were no logos.
I'm saying
silk shirts with gold trim on the shoulders, my nigga. What are they promoting? They're not promoting anything.
I'm not saying they promote nothing, but that's some
no,
shit,
no, no, no. You know, like, Drew, tell the story. What happened the last time me and you accidentally showed up in the same jersey?
We ain't never had the same jersey, bro.
No, didn't we show up at one time or something that with the same like throwback or something on?
Let's say we all rock hoodies. Like, matter of fact, let's say God willing, and whatever else you say, that you know. The next Silver Room Block Party, which I'm thinking in my head, look, come on, we throw on a Serious 33 and 3rd podcast.
Right, right. But that's purpose.
We rocking them, bro. We matching them. So what's the, I mean, other than the difference of we promoting, no, it was a t-shirt.
Okay, so we showed up at the same t-shirt.
It was an industry. Matter of fact, it was the Snoop Dogg Drop It Like It's Hot t-shirt. Yeah. You almost told me, I think either one of us had to go home and say, yeah, that's right.
Because grown men are not supposed to show up together in public at events matching. Like, I'm not buying, yeah.
They're promoting black excellence.
I'm not buying the rich nigga argument. Like, they can show their rich nigga-ness in other ways. No, that shit look tangy as fuck, bruh.
And now, what was the purpose of the little person?
That adds on to the questionableness of this whole thing. Again. Niggas in matching shirts, silk shirts with a midget. I'm sorry, not a midget, a little person between them. Like that, just everything. There's a lot to unpack in that picture. And no, I'm not buying rich nigga shit. No.
No. I'm gonna hit you with the silk pajama flex. With the midget as an accessory,
but they coordinated it together to show up together like this in public.
Hey man, the midget was an
little
accessory.
little person
Drew, midget is not politically correct.
Hey, I'm taking over from DA for tonight.
Oh my god. The views expressed by
okay, my bad, little person, because we want to be politically correct. All of a sudden, VA in here. Now we got to be.
If some white person was on their podcast calling us colors, you feel away.
Oh my goodness, yo! Switching gears for a second, man. Did y'all peep this story recently that Warner Brothers? It's going to be releasing its entire 2021 film slate to HBO Max in addition to theaters. That's pretty gangster, man.
Wait, you said in addition to in theaters?
So they're going to, so like
they're going to give people the option to watch at home or if they decide to venture back out.
Right. But they're supposed to like do it within a month. So
yeah, because the first movie that start like that is gonna be Wonder Woman.
Yeah, now Wonder Woman is gonna drop on Christmas, but then like next year They dropping like all of their joints, like Matrix 4, the new Space Jam.
First of all, I don't know Tom and Jerry is coming out with another movie, but I'm gonna have to watch.
Wait, Tom and Jerry? Like, there's I must have totally missed it. There was previous Tom and Jerry feature films.
No, there's gonna be a Tom and Jerry feature film coming up in 2020.
You said another. Like, I thought I missed one.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to say. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be animated or is it gonna be one of those stupid live action?
I think it's both. I think it's gonna be animated and both.
Kind of like Roger Rabbit. But yeah, man. I mean, I think that's gonna be pretty interesting because, you know, obviously because of COVID, you know, movie theaters are already hurting, and people, you know, rightfully so, are scared to go into movie theaters. And you know, this is gonna be an even bigger blow to, you know, movie theater chains. I mean, what y'all think about, like, do you think this is going to be a long-term thing? Because they're saying, like, it's just going to be for the year until things, you know, hopefully get back on track after the vaccines and everything have you know, been out there. But do you think this is just going to end up being the wave moving on? Because, I mean, part of the whole going to the theater experience, man, is getting to see it on a huge screen. You know, you get the whole popcorn and, you know, date night thing. But watching from the comfort of your own home, I feel like people are going to get accustomed to that and used to it and be like, yo, I ain't going to the movie theater no more.
Nah, I think people – I'm sorry, go ahead, Drew.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, you know, I think people, like you said, they do like to see it on the big screen or whatever. So the movie experience has been, you know, it's what we've been doing for almost a century. I mean, over a century now, shit, right? People going to the movie. So that's never going to go away. When it becomes safe to do so again, I'm pretty sure people are absolutely going to flock back to the theaters once it becomes safe. They may keep that at home option because niggas like me, there's some stuff that I might not need to go to the movies to see, but I still want to check out and I got to deal with people outside my house. So I feel like they might keep it, but I don't think you got to worry about people not wanting to return to the movies.
Yeah, I kind of agree with TJ on that one, because let's remember when Avengers Endgame came out, that first week, people was in the movie theater, and I think like certain scenes, everybody lost it, and you know, you want to feel that energy and that vibe, especially like for movies like that. Yeah. But then on the flip side, I get the whole staying at home bit, because there's certain movies you probably don't even want to go out and go to the movie theater.
It might be some shit you on the fence about, and you be like, I ain't got to go outside for this. I'll stay at the crib. You know what I mean? But stuff like the Avengers, you would absolutely want to see on a big screen.
Well, I think,
But on the flip side of that, though, too, is think about it. In the summertime, I really thought that, what you call it, drive-in theaters was going to come back. And I think they still might come back.
That's a good point. I feel like, with the pandemic and the resurgence of a lot of drive-in theaters, I feel like, you know, the nostalgia was missed. Because even when a lot of them were still around and they started slowly going out of business, I think people were kind of missing that experience. So, you know, it was definitely people that liked it. But then there's also people who, you know, the ones that can afford it, who have home theaters. And those people, I'm sure, would love to have first-run movies, you know, come to the crib, and they might actually pay the, you know, $20 or whatever they charging to have that experience at home.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm going to be on. If I ever do a home theater situation, y'all niggas probably would never see me at a movie theater again between the fucking high-ass concessions and listening to motherfuckers talk and react. If I got a home theater situation, I can say then I probably wouldn't go back to the movies. But that's
and me. Then low key they ain't thinking. Come on, man. Like, okay, all through the 2021 in the spring and summer of 2021, when it's starting to get warm and stuff like that, what's gonna stop me from already getting a projector? I already got a projector.
Yeah,
putting out an inflatable screen outside.
Yep,
getting some chairs and stuff like that, and sitting there and watching a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's people doing that as well.
Charging cats to come through my backyard.
Right.
I'm like, we about to go watch this right now.
Yeah, if that becomes a thing, then they're going to shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, man, you know, speaking of movies, you know, it's you know, Christmas time, and, you know, a lot of Christmas movies.
In Hollis, Queens, mom cooking turkey.
I was just about to do the same
thing. Man.
Yep.
You know, you know, watching some of your favorite movies, man, like Die Hard. Exactly. That was like the first one I was about to say.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I saw something recently, though, when a director came out and said it's not. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but he's alive.
Wait. The director of Die Hard said that it's not a Christmas movie.
Dude, he, I think it's actually, it's not John McTiernan. It's Jan DeBont who did Speed and said that even though the spirit of Christmas was like felt in on the movie set, he said that they were like filming around Christmas time in the winter. Actually, and it was John McTiernan. Jan DeBont, I think, shot the movie. But he was like, you know, a lot of the visual jokes and stuff that happened in the movie actually play, like all of the action and stuff that was going on with the movie is not really supposed to be like a Christmas movie. He said it's
a Christmas movie.
Okay, so here's the thing. I kind of like, I can see both sides. I don't consider Die Hard a Christmas movie, but I understand why apparently the shit, probably the majority pop culture does. Yeah. But like, you know, a Christmas movie.
The Cape?
Huh?
An actual Christmas movie. I don't resonate with none of it. With what he's saying, it's a Christmas movie.
It's his movie. Like,
nah. The tape on the back of his gun, I mean, that he used to tape the gun on his back said, ho, ho, ho. That's a Christmas movie.
So the movie takes place around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But
it was Christmas Eve.
But the focus, the content of the movie isn't Christmas, like your traditional Christmas movie. So that's why it's not technically. And listen, if the man who made it said it ain't a Christmas movie, y'all gotta respect it. But you know, pop culture has already decided. It's like the praying hands on the emojis. Like, it's supposed to be high five, but we already decided it's praying hands. So damn it, that's what it is.
So hold up. So I had to tell somebody at my cousin had a fight party for Tyson and Roy Jones.
In a pandemic?
Right? whatever. it was like a good discussion about Players Ball not being a Christmas song.
Yeah. Here's my thing. When Players Ball first debuted on that LaFace Christmas album.
For the kids, tell the kids, it might be people listening. This song is now 26 years old now. So for you kids out there unfamiliar, Outkast's debut single was a song called Players Ball.
26 years?
Yeah, it was 93, 94, right? 94? Their debut single entitled Players Ball actually debuted on the LaFace Christmas compilation, and then later their debut album. But that's what we're talking about, kiddos.
When it first came out on that Christmas compilation, I kind of asked the same question, but I mean, they make Christmas references all through the song. And
nigga, the song starts off with "It's the beginning of looking
like
what?"
And it's like, and they even have like the little sleigh bells all throughout the beat. So it's a Christmas song, but you know, I think because a lot of people didn't catch it necessarily on that album, on that compilation,
because it ain't in the chorus either.
They just assume that that ain't no Christmas song, but that's a Christmas record.
Players Ball.
Hey man, it's my second favorite Christmas
Players
song.
Players Ball is more of a Christmas theme than Die Hard is, gentlemen. Sorry to tell you, gentlemen.
But what's some of y'all favorite Christmas movies, man?
Okay, Christmas Story. Yeah, without a doubt. One off the top.
It's like a must. You got to watch Christmas Story every year, even though they show it like 50 million times, 11 times.
No, wait. Which one is Christmas Story?
Well, Ralphie, you shoot your eye out, kid.
I don't watch that shit every year. Are y'all kidding me? I haven't seen that shit in like 25 years.
What is wrong with TJ? Home Alone?
I don't know.
Home Alone?
You're talking about me.
Home Alone? You heard of that, TJ?
Oh, Home Alone.
It's about this kid who gets left in the house alone.
Left the house alone. TJ's dream.
I fuck with Home Alone. I fucks with Home Alone. My favorite Christmas movie though is Love Actually.
See, TJ on some different shit.
But Die Hard is not it.
Okay, wait, hold on. Cause y'all niggas probably done seen Die Hard 80,000 times and apparently A Christmas Story. Have y'all ever watched Love Actually?
Nah.
Niggas. And
Rick from Walking Dead in that movie?
I've never watched Walking Dead. What else did he do?
Never mind.
Never mind, right? Who's in the movie, TJ?
Keira Knightley.
You can't even name the nigga.
Keira Knightley. Hugh Grant. What's the other chick name?
Spoiler alert.
Colin Firth.
Hugh Grant did it.
Because the movie is based in London, but it happens around Christmas, leading up to Christmas. It's based in London, so a lot of London actors. Emma Thompson. That's who I wanted to say. Anyway, so it's a big ass. It has like 8 or 9 interconnecting stories all around Christmas time. It's a fucking amazing movie, and fuck y'all niggas for not watching it. Y'all need to watch that shit. Y'all need to watch that one time this year, as opposed to Die Hard or Christmas Story for the 74th time.
Let me think about that for a second.
I'll just continue watching Christmas Vacation. That's one of my favorites. Yes.
Best Man Holiday.
Yes.
Yo, is that the one where
yes,
me
it
and
is.
I, spoiler, I can't spoiler, I only watch it one time. I like I'm sorry.
Right.
It's how old is that movie now?
Yeah, I know. Yes.
I only watched it the first time, I guess, when it first came out. I mean, it's a great movie, but I can't watch that over and over again.
She's okay, by the way, you know. Just so you know. Yeah.
She's alive.
But yeah, man. I mean, it's actually Jamil and I watched a Christmas movie. Now, if you watch any Hallmark stuff, which I normally don't, every Hallmark movie seems to be every Hallmark Christmas movie seems to be the exact same plot, locations, everything, like over and over again. Matter of fact, I think I recently saw there's a whole podcast just dedicated to Hallmark Christmas movies. But we watched one on Lifetime.
No, you had it right. You
no,
watched
no, we
one,
watched one on Lifetime the other night with Kyla Pratt in it, which was pretty good. It was a you know, nice romantic, you know, holiday movie. I didn't think I would like it, but it was actually pretty good.
Did it fall into the same plot as everything else has?
To some degree, but it was you know, had a cute storyline. It was it definitely kept your interest, just like the one
Nick said the storyline.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
cute.
It was
really
it was. just like did you see the one with Kelly Rowland? It was like a two of them. It was like a sequel. It was like Merry Little Christmas, and then there was the Merry Little Christmas Wedding. Y'all just
watch a lot of Lifetime, don't you, buddy? Yo, like I only
Lifetime
watch basically. Lifetime.
Lifetime be
watch hey, a lot man, of Lifetime.
Nah, I'm comfortable with my.
I saw the preview for Wendy. I'll probably get into that.
They've been suspect for me.
I only watch Lifetime when it goes.
Y'all don't watch none of those biopics, like they got the.
And when they make the horrible biopics like they did the Aaliyah one.
Worst one ever.
That was just trash.
Are y'all going to watch?
Yeah. So I do. I tune in.
You going to watch the Salt and Pepper?
Didn't they do the Michelet one too?
I didn't watch
the Michelet one, even though that one was unintentionally.
Yeah, but the Aaliyah one was trash.
Oh, God. Yeah, but I'm absolutely watching Salt and Pepper. Shout out
man,
to Layla.
For real. Shout out to Layla.
Hey, yeah. Shout out to Layla.
I'm definitely watching Salt and Pepper, and I'm definitely watching the Wendy Williams one, too.
Man, and I like, we just mentioned Wendy. Her mom just passed, I think, today.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Man, condolences out to Wendy Williams on the loss of her mom.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I just saw that Jeremiah was recently released from the hospital. So that was definitely some good news. He, you know, overcame his battle with COVID.
It was looking a little shaky there for a minute, but glad he pulled through.
Definitely. Yep. Go ahead.
What was the name of that movie where Chris Rock was playing a virus or something like that, and he was inside somebody's body? It was an animated movie.
I am not that well versed in my Chris Rock movies.
Yeah,
what are y'all talking about?
I remember that one. But yeah.
Now on the flip side of that, your man Rudy got it.
Pootie Giuliani.
Pootie Giuliani.
Have y'all seen him like Have you ever just watched him? Like, he be having the handkerchief and
sweats.
Like, he be like dabbing his head, then blowing his nose, then wiping his face with the same handkerchief. Like, I'm not surprised this nigga got it. Like, finally, how is he avoiding
he
it?
He is a walking coronavirus. He'd be leaking, farting, sweating, blowing.
Jesus,
yeah.
That's what that dude lives inside Rudy Giuliani.
Oh wait,
severely sick all the time.
Osmosis Jones. Okay, only reason why I know that because it's a brandy. Exactly.
The soundtrack was banging, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
right.
Yo, can we?
Hey man, let's face facts. 90s and 2000 late man. Early 2000 soundtracks.
Yeah, bang. No. There's no denying that. There's no denying that.
Except for somebody listed it on TikTok, and I don't appreciate he put the Batman Forever soundtrack in. I was like, nah, G, that don't
matter. Wait, was that the Prince?
The Prince one.
No, yeah, Prince that's one with like Kiss from a Rose
soundtrack.
That's a nah.
But,
okay.
Right.
Hey, I just want to real quick, we talked about the Best Man Holiday. I saw this story in the news last week. Did y'all see this about Taye Diggs and how he feels like a little resentful towards black women because of the dragon they gave him when he was married to that white woman?
Oh, God.
No,
I'm sure man.
Sure he opened up a can of worms with that one.
Well, I guess like he did a podcast with Van Lathan, I think, in 2018, and the subject came up, and he just said, yeah, he did kind of feel a little resentment. He understood where sisters were kind of coming from, but he still feels a little resentment or felt a little resentment at the time about how sisters apparently just dragged him for filth. And that he don't think he can mess with any more white women because of that. He feels a little traumatized. But yo, the crazy shit is I knew he was married to a white woman. I didn't realize, and I probably didn't know who this lady was until this Geico commercial, but he was married to the Broadway lady, Idina Menzel.
Elsa from Frozen.
I didn't see Frozen. Like, I only know her now from the Geico commercial. Yeah. That's how I knew her name. But I didn't even put that two and two together. But yeah, he said he don't even think he can mess with any more white girls now because he was so traumatized by how sisters did him. Wow. Do y'all feel sympathy?
Nah.
I mean, facts.
You love what you love, but here's the thing about that too. It's like sometimes we, as black people, we do go a little overboard sometimes.
And I think it sometimes will vary, between sexes too, because sometimes, black men, they might look at, black women for dating, outside their race, but they might not be as verbal sometimes. Where I think sometimes black women might be more verbal about it and definitely will give more shade and more eyes about it, but like you said, I mean, you love who you love, and it's we live in a world where people like different things, so
that's a diplomatic way to put it. Sure.
Hey, I don't need Taye Diggs
hater club to come over there.
I'm sorry that happened to him. I'm sorry for that man. But I don't
I'm sorry to that man.
I don't feel any type of way, It's just like it is what it is, bro. When you're in the public eye like that, you're definitely gonna get it more than you would, anybody else. Quick unrelated note, sort of. I never knew this tidbit. I read the other day, speaking of Taye Diggs, did you know that Lorenz Tate was originally up for the role of Harper Stewart in The Best Man? I never knew that.
I didn't know that.
He ended up,
I don't think that would have worked,
because he felt that the content was too similar to Love Jones. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I guess that's what I'm saying, it's not.
Yeah,
so.
I guess at the time he felt like, and I think back then, when a lot of black movies was coming out, they all just automatically got lumped together and always got compared regardless of what the content was. So I feel like maybe some actors back then weren't trying to fall into, being typecast
did he know who was attached? Because he ultimately passed up Nia and Sanaa in the same movie.
Exactly. But then, he ended up getting Halle, Vivica, and Leela.
Leela.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Two out of three ain't
bad. Wait, I'm sorry. Who are you from that trio? Who's the one that you're not?
I'm talking about now.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got what you're saying. You bogus.
I told you I'm taking over from VA this week.
Clearly.
Oh, my God.
Clearly.
Well, man.
Fuck that. I still rock right
get
now.
Get sunshine. I'm talking universe.
That's Jesus. But, I still rock.
Nah, he definitely came through. I don't think, and T, for the record, I don't think Drew was talking about Leela.
No, that's exactly what he was talking about. He said now.
All right. What else?
Yeah, man. Yo, so another thing I got to speak on, because, you know, it just passed last week, was it was Hov's birthday, oh, man.
Yo.
51. Hov is 51.
And it's something I found out today. I mean, that this week, that I didn't know Hov and Emil passed up on Black Rob's Whoa.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
Oh. Dude, like, they were supposed to do the song together, and they, like, had...
They didn't like the beat, and they just passed on it.
They listened to it together, to potentially do a song?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Right. Like,
huh.
And then I tried to, like, really think about Hov, like, for real. Like, I know he could have did the beat, you know, rolled the beat, but it was like, man, that would have been... because think about it, the song is still a classic song.
Yeah.
And it, Hov, indeed. And then Hov is Hov, so it's like...
Well, that's like I heard.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think he passed on it. I think he wasn't able to get it cleared or something. But I heard, I want to say, well, no, it wasn't the beat. It was the sample. Ice Cube originally would have used the Herb Alpert sample that ended up being the Hypnotized beat by Biggie. He almost had the rights to it first. And would have put out a record with it first before Biggie
at the same time. Or
I think it was a few years before. Yeah, but
wow.
But Diddy was able to convince Herb Alpert's son to let it be cleared. Because I guess Cube wasn't the only one, obviously, that was going after it. But Biggie was the first one to win out on getting the beat, getting the sample.
Man. So let me ask you this hypothetical. So, you know, you just mentioned Biggie. So if Big never passed away, you think Hov would have been, I mean, Jay-Z would have been as big as he is now?
I think he would. I think because I feel like Biggie definitely would have been a huge artist, you know, literally and figuratively. But I think from a business standpoint, I feel like Hov, that definitely still would have like been such a brand that it would have you know, he would have catapulted into where he is now anyway, regardless.
Yeah, I don't think, like, you know, Big's passing or not, like, I don't think it affects one host music and the business moves that he made. If anything, it just robbed us of the commission and the stuff that
most definitely.
But I don't think, I mean, it may be, you know, I don't know at what point Hov officially kind of quote became King of New York and GOAT, but maybe it would have been delayed a little longer. I'm guessing around 2001, but Nas had fell off at the time. Yeah. He didn't come back yet. So maybe the King of New York GOAT title maybe didn't come as quick, but I don't think it would have affected. I don't think if Big was still there, was still here, it would have affected how Jay-Z, you know, roles. Yeah.
Right.
Do you think if Jazzo had assigned his contract, he would have been as big?
If Jazzo had assigned his contract, he might have got a couple more albums off and a couple more joints.
Yeah.
On a bigger scale. Because he would have been in the machine. Same with Sauce. Yeah. If Sauce had assigned with Rockefeller as opposed to doing the deal with Priority. Did you say who or who? Or ooh. Sauce had a sign with Rockefeller, like, instead of,
man.
Maybe they didn't, you know, Jazz and Sauce didn't like the deals that they were presented, but if Sauce had went with Rockefeller as opposed to signing with Priority, you know, he might have got a better look as well, because Rockefeller's in the Def Jam machine. So
come on, dude. Sauce Money's verse in Reservoir Dog is still like one of the most.
Listen, Sauce's pen game, period. And he didn't ghost wrote so much stuff that, you know, most people don't even realize. Like, you know, he wrote for Puff. He wrote for a lot of people. So Sauce's pen game, he ain't hurting at all. I'm just saying, as far as like musically as being the featured artist, he probably would have went a little further had he signed with Rock. But yeah, Sauce is good. His pen game, he's absolutely good.
Yo, speaking of partnerships that have catapulted hip hop artists, I don't know if y'all peeped this, man, but our prayers were answered. Did y'all see Snoop Dogg has partnered with Triller to form his own The Fight Club?
Yes. I need Snoop on commentary. So they're
gonna be doing 5 to 8 events a year where Snoop is gonna be commentating and hosting, and it's gonna be very similar to the Tyson Jones fight where they're gonna have like music artists performing. And dude, that's gonna be dope. Yeah,
that's huge.
That's gonna be real dope. So be lit.
I did watch Tyson and Jones, and like I did appreciate like what Snoop was doing, but I feel like it was good for the moment. I don't know if like regularly, I don't know how that's gonna work out.
I think it's gonna be some dope. Some
I think
dope
it's gonna be classic because Snoop talk like how the people at the crew.
Yeah,
so it's like he gonna really give you that real.
Watching on a bootleg link, I didn't get the full like my audio was delayed, and then it was like freezing and skipping, and so maybe I didn't get the full gist and effect of everything. I mean, from what I saw, I appreciated and like what Snoop was doing as far as the commentary, but maybe I didn't get the full feel. And then if they're gonna, you know, he got Triller.
Yeah.
So like maybe Triller. You know they'll like, because I don't know, I just felt like the arrangement of that. Tyson and Joe, like it's, I don't know, it looked a little bootleg. Just the ambiance of the place.
Yeah.
So maybe you know they'll work on that and smooth out some other things. But I mean, I guess it could work. I don't know. I thought it was dope for once, but we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And remember, and going off on you talking about a fight, a promotion thing. I'm just gonna venture off a little bit. You know, the next verse just got dropped.
Keisha Cole and Ashanti coming up, and I'm gonna have to roll. I have to roll with Keisha, man.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry. I got to roll with Keisha.
Drew, you already said you were going with Keisha too. I'm surprised that Dave is picking Keisha, but Drew, you said you were going with Keisha, right? Oh no, or did you care?
No, I care. To a certain extent, I care a little bit more than I cared about that.
I still don't understand your absolute disdain for the Gucci and Jeezy situation. Like, you just could not care less. Jesus.
Could care less about. Nah. But, I'm King Keisha on this.
Yeah. Man, it's just like, you know, like I said, it's more Keisha songs that I rock with. Like, even ones on, like, some of the later albums that I rock with heavy. Whereas I feel like Ashanti for me was mostly her first album. She might have had like one or two joints I really rocked with heavy on the second album, and then after that, it's features for me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I'm you know, judging it on what y'all just said, like if I had to like be honest, yes, there's a couple of Keisha songs and definitely on her later albums that I probably rock with more. However, I'm thinking in terms of just the matchup and the format and how, you know, the hits or whatever, but then the features, I just don't think Keisha has enough in her catalog to mess with Ashanti. Ashanti do got hits and she got a lot of good features. And if she ventures off into the shit J-Lo stole, or well, not even stole, but the shit she wrote for J-Lo, yeah, I feel like Ashanti got more bangers than Keisha.
I think the hood is gonna
roll. You're probably right. But I don't know. I mean, I guess we won't have to see. But I feel like Ashanti got more bangers. That's gonna prevail.
Yeah, I'd have to pull up. I remember when they first talked about it earlier this summer. I think they both or somebody had posted a list of both of their songs side by side. I had to take a look at that again because I definitely feel like I remember like looking at Keisha's list. Like, yeah, I feel like this is gonna go harder. Mm.
Hey, but, speaking of verses, I saw something flirted. I saw something floating out there, and it's very unverified as far as I know. But I saw that Tim and Swiss might be close to making Kim and Foxy happen.
Man, we talked about it. Was it last show? Maybe about two shows ago.
Before last.
Where I was like, I would love to see that happen. And now it's looking like a rumor to be possibly, according to Foxy's brother, from what I read, the paperwork is done already, right?
Wow. Damn, I haven't missed any shows. I just don't remember this at all, but okay.
Yeah. It was when we was talking about who we would like to see go against each other. And that was, because remember...
I remember you said
the whole situation about Kim getting snitched on or whatever and going to jail, and that's why it wouldn't work.
Okay, that sounds vaguely familiar. My memory, y'all know my memory is sometimes shitty. So that if they make that happen though, I'm gonna be like, that should break the records, I think.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. And that one, I couldn't even take sides.
No, pick or give a prediction, I'm going to go with Kimberly Jones on this one.
Yeah, Kim's definitely going to have more joy. Not fronting on Foxy's catalog.
Not at all. Not at all.
But Kim definitely, I mean, obviously, you know, she's put out more albums and had more features. And so she's going to, you know, definitely have a lot more in the arsenal than Foxy will.
We gonna tell Foxy to turn.
Really uncalled for.
You just going full BA. By the way, breaking news. Apparently, BA's hemorrhoids cleared up and he's been discharged.
Ah, yeah. Great. They had him in the gurney like Mr. McAfee on A Living Color.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember that, Drew?
Wow.
Man, did y'all see the story about, President Barack Obama was on Jimmy Fallon recently, and he had mentioned that there was a discussion about who could potentially play him in a biopic, and he said he wouldn't be mad if Drake was to play him.
Wait, hold on. Can we pause? You pronounce it biopic?
I would be mad.
I prefer biopic. I was going to say the same thing. You want to go with the European pronunciation, Dave. Biopic. I guess it could be either way.
You know, Dave's in films and movies, so he probably.
I'm gonna go with biopic, man.
Nah, I don't think that's correct. I don't know because it's well, you know what? Again, it could just be preference. I don't know if I hear people say biopic.
Man, now mind you, y'all called me out like about two or three times about two other things that I was apparently wrong on. And then I went back and, you know, found out I was absolutely 100% correct. So I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna go back to the tape.
Biopic. I haven't seen the Miles Davis biopic. No, nigga, Miles Davis biopic. Oh, whatever. All right, go ahead.
I'm not going to rock with Drake playing Barack.
You can't see that. He is a good actor, man. I mean, like when he was wheelchair Jimmy on Degrassi, man. Like, you know, he had me tear up a couple times.
Nigga, that was 15 years ago. 20 years ago. I'm straight. No, I'm not.
I mean, he does a great Cat Williams.
Yeah, he does.
So I wouldn't put it past him, man. He might.
Dude, I guarantee he was a bum on 47.
I don't know. We'll see, man. But you know, Barack already gave him the gave him the gold seal, man. So
that's mad interesting. Like, well, I mean, if you know, Cynthia, how do you say her name? Ivero? If she, I mean, and it's a lot of British, black British actors that play Americans in film. So I was gonna say, like, is it weird, gonna be weird for this Canadian dude to play? But you know, like I said, a lot of Black British actors play American people. So yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Drake as Barack Obama.
It just kind of made me think of, like, who would I want to play me in a biopic, man?
Come on, Dave. Seriously.
Here we go.
A couple? It's like we got to hack a half dozen now. So if you guys don't know, throughout the years, we have a running count of people that Dave relatively resembles. Yeah. And or could get mistaken right. from, I mean, mistaken for... Or have gotten mistaken for a decent distance. Right. So yeah. Let's go through the list, shall we?
Right. Oh, okay. Boy.
First up, we got Craig David, right?
Yep.
Craig David is number one. Yeah.
Is Lloyd Banks number two?
Lloyd Banks is number two.
Who else do we got? Did we have Ray J on the list at one point?
No. We had
Marcus Houston.
Okay. Yep.
I got mistaken for Marcus Houston in the airport one time. Who else? Dr. Dre.
I don't even think I remember that one. I didn't have that one on my list. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know where that one came from. Nick Cannon, oddly enough.
I can kind of see that.
I don't know where the Nick Cannon one.
From a distance, if you squint your eyes.
Right.
I used to get one of the dudes from High Five, which I actually did look a lot like him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I forget about this.
Yeah, I don't even remember his name. Was that his name?
I think it was Mark. Damn, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I used to get him a lot. Man, who else, man? I feel like it's somebody really potent that I'm forgetting. But yeah, those are probably like the most frequent ones I've gotten over the years.
I need to keep a list in my phone so I don't lose track anymore. But I know we're at about a half dozen.
Yeah, I would want Will Smith to play me. Obviously, you know. Yeah.
It's gonna let the silence speak right. for us.
No. I think he can pull it off, man.
You think he can pull? I mean, he did Muhammad Ali. All right, I'll allow it.
Yeah. Who would y'all want y'all to play yourselves in the movie?
You know, I would say, but I don't want to get talked about because it'll feel like I could be feeling myself too much.
Idris, is that who you?
No, I wasn't going to say Idris. But maybe about 30 pounds ago, once or twice, because I'm light skinned and bald head, once or twice 30 pounds ago, like a chick or two might have mentioned that they thought I kind of favored Boris.
Boris from the Rocky Bullwinkle show? Or.
Again, I need y'all to take note that I am approaching this subject with caution because I don't want to make it seem like I think that I'm just saying I've heard that a time or two, like I said, about 30 pounds ago.
Or Boris Kojo. Okay. All right. Now, you know who I would have said, boy from the game, Kobe Bell, I think is that his name?
Oh, yeah. No, I've gotten him too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Definitely Kobe Bell.
Wow, got into. Yeah, man, I can't even think of nobody, bro. I mean, I remember that one time we was back in the 925, the VIP TV days. We interviewed Keith Murray, and he just kept on saying it that whole night. That's like it's Hov right there, crazy right there.
Was you rocking your stocking cap under the baseball cap?
I might have been,
you know that. Yeah, I could have had the New York fitted on, but I can't think of nobody because I can't think of an actor somebody said that I resemble. So I can't. I don't got no. I have nothing.
Hey, y'all think Bokeem Woodbine would do good as BA?
I can kind of see that.
Bokeem would have to put.
I can see that though.
He probably had to take the 40, the 30, 40 like, that I got. Like, but he would have to put on about 30, 40. I think he could do a BA.
Yeah,
Bokeem Woodbine can play BA. I can see that,
man.
I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, did y'all see And we kind of touched on this on the last episode about the Grammys. Apparently, Teyana Taylor wants to retire from music now.
Yo, no, Teyana, baby, listen. I know that you're feeling underappreciated, and I know, you know, the Grammy, the category, and it was like all male, and it pissed you off. No, Teyana, we need you in these streets, baby.
For real, I mean, yeah.
She's too dope. Don't let them niggas, you know, rain on your parade and stop you from doing you. But no, we need Teyana. So I hope she doesn't follow through. Like, she could be having a moment. Like, she is feeling underappreciated.
Yeah.
And so she could be having a moment. I hope she's not like really serious about retirement. Now, she says she wants to focus on her family and raising her she got two kids, one. That's one thing, but I hope she doesn't leave music just because she doesn't feel like not enough people are appreciating it. So
she's definitely underrated, but you know, I just like, you know, about a year or two ago, I think Ari Lennox was talking the same way, and she's a really dope artist. And I just feel like
I remember Jasmine Sullivan was talking Jasmine too.
I just feel like, again, it goes back to what I was saying last week. Like, I feel like sometimes, and I get it, man, you want that notoriety, you want to feel like, okay, this is what I work towards. But I feel like sometimes with these awards, man, you know, too much emphasis is put on it. You know.
In the words of the great Fife Dawg.
Yeah, especially in the words of the great
Fife Dawg, never let a statue tell you how nice you are.
Man, couldn't have said it better. Yo, definitely, you know, I know she said she was also going through some, like, you know, emotional, you know, mental stuff too. So, you know, prayers go out. But yeah, like T said, like, you're dope. Don't let these people who don't recognize real music get you down.
Absolutely. Man, we need to keep the same energy part two, Teyana. We need that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yo, that's another exciting episode 10, as a matter of fact, of On the Serious 33 and the Third Podcast.
We went diamond on you hoes.
Man, for real. It's the 10 Crack Commandments. Yo, so much love. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter on Serious 33. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Merch coming soon.
Coming soon.
Man, y'all stay safe out there. Mask up. Wear your mask.
The fuck.
Please mask up.
Wear your mask up.
Please mask up.
Feel free to make any PS5 donations to Dave on the Serious 33 and the Third Podcast show.
You gotta hit up one of those sugar mamas, apparently, Dave.
Man, for real.
Man, Jack A. Hyatt.
Yeah, hey.
Man, Jack A. Hyatt.
What's up? Nah, but yo, make sure y'all stay tuned in. Be safe out in these streets. And we'll holler at y'all on the next one.
Yep.
You dig?
One.
We out, y'all.
One.
Peace.